This program is brought to you by Braze, forging human connections between consumers and the brands they love.
Money FM 89.3, with the profound financial impact as a result of COVID-19, we've seen this staggering change in customer behavior. The financial services industry has been forced to adapt and evolve in a way that they engage with their customers in order to survive in, well, this digitally transforming world. Here in Singapore, we have grown accustomed to the likes of PayLah, PayNow, Google Pay, in hopes of providing the safe, convenient and personal experience at the same time for each customer. Well, we also have Braze, which is a customer engagement platform that aims to help brands foster human connection with consumers. We're going to find out more about how this global pandemic has affected digital communication strategies of financial services and really what businesses can do to engage with their customers in a virtual but yet secure way. I'm Elliot Danker, and with me this morning is Julia Lee, Vice President, GM Asia Pacific Braze. Hello, Julia.
Hey, Elliot.
As well as Justin Payton, Asia Pacific's Chief Transformation Officer of Wunderman Thompson. Justin, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
It's an interesting world we live in now, huh?
It definitely is, yes.
To start us off, were you guys already doing a lot of e-payments before the whole circuit breaker measures in Singapore, lockdowns around the world?
100%. And, you know, we've already seen the shift to cashless mobile transactions well before the pandemic, right? So C19 has definitely accelerated all that. And digital experiences have replaced in-person transactions, especially during lockdowns, right? Yeah. And from a consumer point of view, we've seen an escalation, of course, of e-com shopping. Mm. You know. Now, on the industry side, when we look at fintech and FinServ, that is where we see a very wide range of players in this space. And we hear about, for example, in recent news, iStocks, company right here in Singapore, recent round of funding. They are a digital securities platform, and they are all about bringing equal access to investing. They're all about opening, you know, private market equity access. And then you hear about emerging trends, right? Especially with the pandemic, which is around buy now, pay later.
Yeah.
It's a trend that's been around for 7 years in certain markets in Europe and Australia. It's still in its nascent stage here in Singapore. But buy now, pay later, or BNPL, if as a consumer, I believe it sounds very attractive because I can make my decisions as a consumer based on the cash flow I have, and I don't have to worry about, you know, applying for credit and so on.
Yeah.
So what that all means is we all can agree that, you know, consumers have many, many options, to your point earlier.
Very true. Actually, just on the back of what Julia mentioned, now that we are so embedded in this culture of digital, where is the spectrum of expectation where security or data security is concerned? Has that improved at all?
I would say that the expectation is more one where people have become more aware of what the danger is.
Okay.
So I think that people went through a couple phases. There was the phase of, I'm not going to buy anything online because who knows who's going to steal
that's
my
me.
Credit card number. That's not secure. That's that.
Yeah.
Then there was the phase of, actually, this feels secure. I will start shopping online. And you started to see the slippery slope and growth. And now I think we've gotten to the point where actually there's a bit of maturity. People are aware of what the risks are. They're looking for people who they can trust. And being a brand that is trusted and that is known, that pays dividends in actual fact. So showing that you are going to be secure, it makes front page news when someone's hacked and when data details are leaked. So there is a huge awareness at this point.
That's true. And, you know, to be fair, we are talking about financial services and the evolution. This evolution has already started taking place way before the pandemic, right?
Yeah, this evolution started a long time ago. And like Julia was saying, you've seen a move that started a long time before. There was a move towards e-commerce. I think that now what we're seeing with the pandemic, though, is segments that used to rely on the face-to-face interactions, segments that liked to go into the bank, segments that liked all of those interactions, they are now going, actually, maybe I need other options.
Yeah, I'd love to get both your thoughts on that. On consumer engagement, what Justin was just talking about, Julia, how do you stand out from everyone else?
That's entirely a valid question. And that's a question that many brands ask themselves, especially in this very crowded marketplace, you know, in the arena of fintech and finserv. And this is where we got to be so mindful of the landscape that we now operate in, isn't it? Asia is where it's a mobile-first, consumer-driven, you know, economy. And this is very relevant for Singapore. And right here in our backyard, you know, we see the presence and we feel the presence of tech giants. We see payment incumbents right here. And they will definitely dominate regionally because, you know, they benefit from very entrenched, habitual usage, right, of at least one function that drives a high, you know, repeat utility. And that is why they're so focused on driving out aggressive partnerships, right? They're working out on how do we further entrench with local daily behaviors. So this is where, you know, you do see other players coming up in fintech finself. And this is where they got to think about, to what Justin has described, how do we be that authentic, you know, voice for the consumer? How do we listen authentically? Or how do we understand and act based on what you as a consumer, based on the behavior that you take and based on what you are telling us with your digital footprints? This is not just about basic KYC, know your customer stuff. This is how you modernize the thinking around it.
Yeah.
And a common fallacy that we see is that some of these brands only think about retention.
Okay.
Right. Only when, you know, you have amassed a certain sufficient base of consumers. But the thinking there needs to be changed, you know, drastically, because, you know, retention starts from day one. You got to get it right. You got to encourage low risk experimentation, rethink those strategies, build that runway for success. And it's so important. And you hear about e-payment, e-wallet brand in Thailand, for example.
Okay.
When the pandemic hit Thailand, everybody was fearful of touching physical cash.
Yes.
Logically. And that is where, you know, they expected, you know, and they did see a huge download of their e-wallet app. And they realized, but you know what, that's a vanity metric, because so what if a whole bunch of people downloaded our app? They will not be engaged. They were not converting to their first transaction. And they realized that they had to rethink their retention strategy, which is how they personalize the outreach based on the person's profile. And they realized that that then allowed them to then see the conversions that truly mattered to their brand.
Mm. To be fair, also, rules play a part. Flexibility plays a part. Too much or too little, and where you set up shop. A place like Singapore that has this whole smart city initiative definitely comes into play. And you've got a company like Braze, where Julia is from, named as leader in mobile engagement automation. Tying that in with this smart city initiative, Justin, in your opinion, how important is it?
Listen, I think Singapore is done an amazing job at being a hub for innovation, at attracting really forward-looking businesses, and at cultivating the kind of thinking that really is going to push our world forward. I think they've done an amazing job at that. I think that that's clear, not just when you look at Braze, but when we look at this category, you've got the big heavyweights. They're all here, whether it's Visa or whether it's Stripe or whether it's small innovators that you're starting to see as lots of little fintechs that are creating maybe a single service. Mm-hmm. Maybe they only do one thing, but they do it really, really well. And everything is built around that. Consumers are going to start to see more choice and go, actually, I can work with six different brands, and it'll still feel like one because it can feel seamless.
Yeah.
It's becoming really interesting.
Using Braze as case study, Julia, help me out with this. Throughout Circuit Breaker until now, where we're at, what kind of challenges did you guys face when it came to engaging with consumers?
Well, there are various ways to look at that. You know, one is we had brands coming to us when the pandemic hit, and the number one top of priority is, you know, how in the world do we pivot our business? How in the world do we have the capability to do that? Because it was, you know, it caught everybody off guard. And now we're in a situation where it's wave after wave, you know, of easing lockdowns, easing restrictions, and so on and so forth. So a key challenge that we are hearing and we have had during the pandemic and now especially is, you know, there is that swing where, you know, due to the highly competitive nature of fintech and finserv, I mean, we have 1,000 fintech companies that have operations right here on our nation, right? There's attempts to do efforts to buy the consumer for quick growth. But when you think about that, there's a fundamental challenge around that, which is cost of acquisition is really high, right? But it's also the cost of incentivization, you know, promotions, rewards, you know, you keep throwing and you and I get that on our phones, you know, the ping, 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 the notifications that we receive, right? And again, consumers have option. Do these brands, can they sustain that in the long run? How do they sustain that for the foreseeable future, right? So that's a big, big challenge.
Today, I'm speaking speaking with Julia Lee, Vice President GM Asia Pacific Braze, as well as Justin Payton, Asia Pacific's Chief Transformation Officer of Wunderman Thompson. And Justin, Julia's just opened up this whole case study that we're trying to do. She's expanded it even more by talking about retention. The reason I bring that up is because you spend a lot of time shaping businesses around consumer experiences, expectations. Transformation is a word that comes up a lot. And it's all about tackling modern marketing. Now, if I were to dial it down, simplify it, marketing budget has to go differently now. Retention. But how do you do that when people are not out?
It's the best question, and it comes down to, for a lot of businesses, how they organize themselves internally, which is the hardest part to get right, of course. But when I look at it from kind of an idealist perspective, because I think that's the easier thing to do than talk about how businesses silo themselves. When I think of it from an idealist perspective, I look at two things. So from a transformation perspective, people always thought about, well, there is a destination we're trying to get to. And so we can build a 3-year plan that'll take us from A to B. And when we're at B, we're in great shape. And the reality is that two things have happened with this pandemic. Number one is that nobody has 2 years to get from A to B. Everybody has, like, can you do it in 2 weeks? And the other thing is that everybody has recognized that B is not the destination. The destination is something we can't really see. And transformation is about becoming transformative as a philosophy and recognizing the fact that we're just going to need to keep changing and rolling with the punches, because change is a constant. So it becomes, how do we make sure that we are learning with everything we do? We're capturing more insight. It might not be personal data. It might be data about how people behave when we do certain things. But it is about, how do we capture those insights and build off them? When we look at what that means to a retention side, honestly, we're closing the doors between what acquisition and retention really are. They used to be kind of two sides, and really they are two sides of the same coin.
Julia, I feel that what Justin has said could probably work hand in hand with something like AI. Is this something that Braze has looked at?
Definitely. I mean, the AI machine learning, it's part of our core, our technology platform. I think it's more about, you know, when we hear of technology innovations terms, sometimes the jargons that industry throws at us, right? I think it's always about, what's its purpose,
right?
What is the business use case? And, you know, it's always about, how do we engage in a meaningful, authentic, you know, purposeful manner, isn't it? And this is where, you know, if we use these kind of latest technologies, then it's about, how do I, you know, work on that, you know, personalization is a key fundamental principle, right? Now, technology, especially that of, you know, modern streaming architecture, allows us to capture, ingest actions, behaviors in the moment, and allows, you know, us to know what to respond, or helps the brand to respond. It's definitely exciting, you know, as we look for the development and further developments of machine learning in our space, especially for fintech and fincer. But it comes back to, what is the purpose?
Right.
What is the outcomes? And again, it's not about, you know, the vanity, you know, conversion matrix. It's about, like, if you're a brand and you're really good in doing one thing or two things, for example, what are the high value actions that matter for your brand? How do you optimize it, right? And how do you then shape the retention strategy? When we talk about, how do we move from the ideal state into actual, practical, day-to-day execution, this is where a lot of brands come to us and say, well, I get all this, I know all this, how do we do this? How do we get started, right? And, well, step by step, look at courageous innovation. Look at examples around you. Take a business use case, and for example, it could be a negative experience. You know, start with something that is deemed as a high-value action. Work on that to kind of execute and to improve. Of course, you know, coming back to the fundamentals and pragmatism of turning ideals into execution, do you have the teams in place, right? Is there a strong team play collaboration between marketing, product, data, engineering, technology, and so on and so forth? When you are, you know, laying out, for example, your data architecture, are you doing that in parallel to your product development if you're a fintech startup company?
Right.
Because it's so much easier if you get it right from the beginning than to try and fix it later. Yeah. When brands came calling us when the pandemic hit, it was all about agility, right? And agility needs to drive across, you know, the different dimensions and aspects of a company, right? So it's not just the teams, it's also the technology. They all go hand in hand.
Yeah, I mean, what you bring up is so true. It's sexy to say, I've got AI, but these ideals, it's the humans that keep it on track. That being said, looking at 2021, Justin, what's your outlook and where do you see the future headed for this space?
Listen, I think that we're going to see behavior change in people. People are still a little bit nervous about the economy. We're going to see more savings. We're going to see products that help people save. We're going to see products that help people invest, that see people really, that help people prepare. The way the brands are going to then attract those people is exactly the point that you just made. the reason why people went to branches, the reason why people went to banks is because when they have a conversation with someone, that person is intuitive, that person can react to them, and we're going to see the brands that are adaptive, the brands that listen, the brands that can actually respond to people in the most human way possible, even if it's driven by AI. But where those reactions feel intuitive, we're going to see them succeed.
I've been speaking with Julia Lee, Vice President, GM Asia Pacific at Braze, as well as Justin Payton, Asia Pacific's Chief Transformation Officer of Wunderman Thompson.
This program is brought to you by Braze, forging human connections between the consumers and the brands they love. To find out more, visit braze.com today.